Today is December the 1st, 1981. This is Madeline Buble Kipp interviewing Gladys Shewhart Green at the Castroville Library in Castroville, Texas. I am interviewing for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project. Mrs. Green, let me tell you what a pleasure it is to interview you, because I know you come from the same area where I was raised and knew my parents. And before life story, I would like to know where you were born.
I was born in San Antonio.
And were you delivered in a home or in a hospital?
In a home.
And when were you born?
I was born January the 26th,
1899. What were your parents' names?
My father's name was Christopher Shewhart, and my mother's name was Rosa Shewhart.
And what was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Rosa Liebold.
Right. Where was your father born?
My father was born in Prussia, Germany.
And when did he come to the United States?
He came to the United States during the big flood in Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
And the ship was shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the sole survivor of the family.
Oh, his parents drowned?
Yes. All the rest of the family had drowned.
Was that in approximately 1846, 1850, somewhere in that area?
Yes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, how old was he at that time?
Oh, he was just a young boy.
A small child.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, I would think he was. You know, probably in his early teens, mm-hmm. maybe.
Well, how did he get to Castroville? Did he ever tell you?
Yes, Mr. Bodder. Forgotten his first name, had raised him.
Joe? Joseph?
Is that the elder boy?
Yes, there was Joseph Bowden.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, that's who raised him. And he lived with them until he was almost grown.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went into the... He had served in the Civil War, of course.
Was he a Confederate soldier?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll say. And then, what did he... What did he do for a living then, after he got out of the service?
I don't know exactly what he did for a while, but then I know just before he bought this ranch that where I was raised,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of Phil,
mm-hmm.
he went to Oppenheimer Bank and asked to borrow some money. He said he wanted to buy some land, about 10,000 acres of land, and he said, I have no collateral. But Mr. Oppenheimer let him have the money.
Do you recall or have you ever heard what he had to pay an acre for that land?
I think it was around 25 cents an acre, but I'm not sure about that.
That sounds like it could have been about right. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you know what age he was when he bought that ranch?
When he bought that land? I don't know. See, he had been married once before, so I imagine he must have been probably in his early 30s,
mm-hmm.
and late 20s.
Okay, now you mentioned that he had been married before.
Yes.
What was his first wife's name?
She was... they owned some land up near the other land. It's in that book.
What was her name?
Her name was Frances Odom. O-D-O-M.
And were there any children from that marriage?
Yes, they had two children. L.D. and Fanny.
What happened to the first Mrs. Shewhart?
She died. No, I don't know.
You don't know what her illness, if
no.
she was ill or what.
Okay. I think she was ill and died.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, when did he marry your mother?
Then he married my mother.
Okay, where did you find that?
It says right here, married in San Antonio.
Oh, yes. They married March the 4th, 1876.
Oh, my. and your mother's name, you said, was Rosa Leibold.
Uh-huh.
Okay, where did she come from?
She lived in Water Settlement, too.
Oh, I see. With her parents. Mm-hmm. All right, now how many children were there with this in this marriage? And if you name them for me.
In that marriage, there were 11 that reached adulthood.
Did they have more?
They had one that died.
Oh, so they had 12. Mm-hmm. And what were their names?
Arthur, Lillian, Nettie, Lee, Manuel, Tommy, Pearl, Lima, Raymond, Archie, and Les.
And that's you. You're the youngest child.
I'm the youngest.
So you were born on this ranch that he was financed by the Oppenheimer.
No, I wasn't born on the ranch. I was born in San Antonio.
Yes, right. But I should have said lived on the ranch.
I lived there, yes.
He was considered a large rancher. Did he have people working for him, or how did he manage this ranch?
Well, yes, he always had mostly Mexicans helping him. Mm-hmm. Ranch, and then of course, as soon as his boys got older, he had six sons, you know, mm-hmm. So they helped.
What can you describe your father as you remember him?
He was a big man, big boned, and had a real friendly, sweet face,
mm-hmm.
and was very, loved people, liked to talk to people. He never met a stranger. And then, of course, after he became older, he gained a lot of weight and was quite large. I think he weighed over 200 pounds.
Oh,
he was a large man.
When they had cattle, did they have cattle roundups and then to take them to San Antonio for sale?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many cattle did he run? Do you have any idea?
I don't have any idea how many, but it always was a lot of cattle everywhere.
Where did y'all go to church?
My father had this idea. He wanted his children not to be forced to go to any church.
Mm-hmm.
And until we were grown, we didn't have to. We could go to any church we wanted. And then he wanted us to join the church of our desire.
Well, now, where did you go to school, Miss Shuler? Miss Green, excuse me.
Yeah. It's all right. We lived just south of the San Geronimo Creek, and the schoolhouse was up on a little high rise on the other side of the creek. So we'd run down the hill and this little high rise into the schoolroom, unless it rained and the creek came up. Then I'd have to saddle my horse and ride over there.
Oh.
Right across the creek.
Was this a one-room schoolhouse?
Yes, at first it was a one-room schoolhouse. And then later on it became a two-room.
How many children usually attended, about, approximately?
Oh, I would think around 50.
So were there that many?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall any of the teachers' names?
Yes, I do, especially one that Mary Neiman.
Well, that's fine if you can't think of any more. How many years did you go to school, usually, most children?
I went there through the seventh grade, and of course, it was a one-teacher room, and I could recite all the poems and everything that all seven grades had.
I think that a lot of children learn more by having the so many grades together, really.
I do, too.
And what kind of games did you play then at school? Anything in particular?
Oh, yes, we had so many good games. Fox of the River. Hank dropped a handkerchief.
Uh-huh.
And I was such a tomboy that I liked to play baseball with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother and I used to get up and play baseball. And also Martha Stubbe.
Yes. Yeah, that's my aunt. Uh-huh. So mother went to school. My mother went to school at the same time you did.
Yes, we were schoolmates.
Well, that's interesting. How do you have any recollection as to how that little Cliff School? It was called Cliff School, am I correct?
Yes.
How they got a school there? You know, that was a long time ago,
No, I really don't have any recollection of how it was started.
I was just wondering if possibly the people in the community probably helped build it, I would imagine, don't you?
I'm sure they had to.
Now, there was also a store and a post office there at Cliff at one time. Am
yes,
I correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Who owned that store originally?
My brothers.
Your brothers. Mm-hmm. Which ones?
Well, at one time, my brother Manuel had a big store there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it burned down, and then we had a smaller one, and also a saloon in combination,
mm-hmm.
and sort of a pool hall and all that. And I used to have a little beer can, you know, a little bucket that I'd run down the hill to get the beer for my mother.
Oh, did your mother like her can of beer?
No, she really
her bucket of beer.
But she'd have it for the boys when they'd come in to eat lunch.
What kind of a store was this that Manuel had?
Manuel had a large grocery store, and of course a lot of different kinds of things in it.
Did he have dry goods also?
Not much dry goods, but then later on, after his burned down and some of the younger boys and I took it over, I had the dry goods side and the boys had the groceries.
Well, now how did you get your supplies for your store?
We'd go to San Antonio and buy them in the wholesale houses.
And what was your method? What was your type of transportation did you have to get there?
Later on, of course, we had a car, but at one time we only had the buggy.
Mm-hmm. So it would be a two or three day trip to do this, is that correct?
About 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea when the post office started there?
It must have been around 1917, because I was a postmistress about that time.
Well, prior to that, how did you get your mail?
I couldn't tell you.
You don't know that.
I don't
remember. Okay, then you were the postmaster, and how did you, how was the mail delivered there?
The mail was delivered in a large sack. And we had the little cubby holes where we put had the names on there of all the people that lived down the creek, we called it.
Yeah, well, who brought this mail to you?
It was brought by different people. and later on then it became also to be brought to Medina Lake. They had one sack for us and one sack for Medina Lake.
Well, how often was this? Did this happen? In a week, per se, for instance?
As well as I recall, I would say twice a week, maybe three times, not anymore.
But there was no person in particular that did this, like a particular mail carrier that came each time?
Yes, yes.
That had a contract, maybe, to haul it?
I'm sure he had a contract. It was an Amberson boy.
Okay, once the mail got to you, then how did the people in the community get their mail?
Then they come up to the store and post office and get their mail.
Oh, they each had a post office, little cubbyhole or a box.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and then when they had something to mail, how would you get the mail out again,
Well, then we'd know when the mail carrier would be coming back, and we'd let him take it with him.
Do you recall the postage on a postcard or a letter, for instance?
I don't know. It seems like it was 1 cent.
That probably was 1 cent. So, as a young person, what did you, say a teenage girl, young girl, what did you do for recreation?
I'll tell you one thing I did. I loved to play tennis with the teachers that taught there at the school. And I learned to play tennis real well. In fact, when I got to Arleigh's Lake in college, I won the tennis tournament.
Oh.
The girls were scared of me. I had a wicked serve.
You must have, maybe that's where Faye, your niece, got her ability from, too, for her athletics. What type of community recreation did you all have as young people? Did you go dancing?
Yes,
what did you do?
We had dances all the time. And my brothers took me along because I was the only girl. From the time I was 13, I was right with them at the dances at Castorville. Mm-hmm. And also, then later on, we had the Brown Hall, the old Brown Hall at El Lotus, and we went there.
How often did you go to a dance, say a public dance?
Sometimes twice a week, but sometimes once a month only. It all depended on how they happened to be scheduled.
Did you ever go to any house parties or things?
Yes, we had. Now, this was some kin to you, too. Ludwig Steibing had a great big dance hall, and we used to go over there and dance, maybe every 2-3 months or so.
Oh, really?
All the neighbors would gather and have a real lovely time.
What kind of what did you do for fun at home as children?
Oh, I had my haunts all over the ranch, you know. I'd have my walks where I'd go walking. I had a horse. I rode as far as 3 miles down the creek to visit my girlfriends. And then, of course, I played with the boys some, but they were usually so busy, and they'd tell me that my mama wanted me if I went out to see them.
Did you have to help with the housework?
Oh, yes. Always. Everybody had their chores to do. And my mother was a real good cook, and she taught me to make the salads early. And that was the salads and desserts were mine.
I would imagine everyone in a family that large would have to have a particular job to keep everything.
And the laundry was such a problem at that time.
Describe laundry day.
Oh, laundry day was a wonderful day. We'd start out early in the morning, and we had the old rug board at first, you know. and big black kettle with hot water for the white clothes. And they came out white. They were white as snow. And then, I still remember this, my mother had always had some rendered peaches or something like that. And we'd each have to have one of those before we could start this hard work, because she said that gave us a lot of strength.
And what was that?
Brandied peaches.
Brandied peaches. Mm-hmm. Well, how long did it take you to do this laundry for that large of a family?
Oh, most of the morning.
You could accomplish it in a half a day?
Oh, yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we had long clotheslines that stretched from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned riding horseback to visit some of your girlfriends. Who were some of your girlfriends, and what did you do when you visited?
Oh, we'd sit and talk about the boys a lot. And look at pictures and walk out in the yard.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of your best girlfriends at that time?
One of my best early girlfriends was Julia Winkler. Mm-hmm. She's now Mrs. Ariel Haby. And then, of course, I know others.
So you talked about the boys, huh? Well, did you have any boyfriends then?
Oh, sure.
Who were some of your boyfriends?
Oh, the Binky boys. Mm-hmm. I was very much in love with one of the younger Binky boys. And he died then very young, and I was so depressed. I didn't think I'd ever get over it, but I did. Mm-hmm. And had many of them after that, the Haby boys.
When did you marry then?
I'm married June 30th, 1926.
Mm-hmm. And what was your husband's name?
My husband's name was Pat Green. He was the son of Green, the florist in San Antonio. Mm-hmm.
And do you have any children?
Yes, I have three children.
And what are their names?
Their names are Patrick, Terrence, and Rosemary.
Then did you move away from the ranch?
Yes, of course. I moved to San Antonio then. Mm-hmm. When my husband was employed with the telephone company there. Mm-hmm. And I've lived there ever since. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You told me a while ago that you went to college. Was that, where did you go to college?
I taught school for 2 years out at the low school that I attended, elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I knew the county superintendent, who was W.N. Sato, mm-hmm. a great big man, and such a wonderful man. And he used to always come and have lunch with my mother because he liked her cooking. And so one day when I left the table, I said, I want you to help me because I want to be a teacher. And he said, well, sure, anytime. He said, anytime you want to be, just come see me, and I'll help you get a certificate. So then, when I was about 19, I decided, well, I'm going out and see Professor Sadoff and get that certificate and teach. So I went, I had to ride to San Antonio with one of my brother-in-laws, who was coming in at that time. And then I caught the train and rode out to Hondo and spent the night with Mr. and Mrs. Hagelin Sr., who were good friends of my mother and father. And then the next day I went over to see Professor Sato, and he gave me some questions to answer so I could get that teaching certificate. And when I looked at the questions, they were so difficult, because I had only been through the 7th grade. And I decided, well, I'm just going to write everything I know. I wrote everything that was in my head on that paper. And he gave me a one-year certificate, teaching certificate. And so I got a job at the Maverick Schoolhouse, as it was called, the one at Fifth, and started teaching. And I was teaching the first four grades, and then the other teacher taught the other four. And I taught there for 2 years. Then I decided, well, I needed some more education. I'm not satisfied. So my father gave each one of the children some money. I think it was $500. And I decided then, well, I'm going to come to San Antonio and go to Our Lady of the Lake, because I had heard a lot about Our Lady of the Lake College. And I came in and told them I wanted to go to school. And go to college, I said. And after I was there several days, Mother Superior sent word that I should bring her my credits. Well, I went in to see her, and I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, the credits from where you went to high school. I said, I've never been to high school. I said, I've been through the seventh grade, and I've taught school for 2 years, but I've never been to college until high school. So she said, well, you'll have to take an exam. I said, all right, I will. So about the next day, while they put me in a room with my papers and gave me another real hard examination, well, I couldn't answer all those questions either. But they didn't tell me to go home. They kept me there.
Did they?
So I made my 4 years, and in 3 years and three full summers, by going to summer school, 12 weeks each summer, I made my BA degree.
Oh, that's 3 years. Marvelous. And what year did you complete this?
I completed it in 1926, May the 30th, 1926.
That's wonderful. That really is. Well, did you teach school after that then?
Yes. My husband became ill and had to quit work, so I called Miss Foster, who was a superintendent of schools in San Antonio, and I told her I want to substitute. And she said, there's no sense in your substituting, Gladys. She said, I want you to come and teach. So I said, well, let me think it over one night. So I slept over it, and the next morning I called her. I said, I'm ready to come back and go to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I started in the first grade and went on up, didn't like it as well as I thought a higher grade. So I got the second grade the next year and the third grade the following year and the fourth grade the following year, and I stayed there because that's the one I liked.
Oh, how many years did you teach then the second time when you took up this as a career?
I taught 17 years, and then I bridged the 2 years I taught out in the country, so 19 years.
Oh, that's great. Now let's go back to life at the ranch. I understand that the Little Cliff store and the post office was sort of a community center. Is this correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Were there people, say, let's say from San Antonio, let's say prominent people, did they ever come past that way?
Oh, yes. We had all sorts of prominent people. Bankers from the banks and all kinds of people would come out and take pictures of these buildings that we had. And a lot of times they'd end up on the hill where our big home was, and we'd have lunch with my mother up there.
I was just going to ask you, was there any place to stay or eat once they got out mm-hmm. to this area?
Yes. And we fed a lot of people.
Did you ever have any to stay overnight? Give them beds, rooms?
Yes. Oh, yes. We put them up occasionally for a night or so.
Mm-hmm. Were there still Indians around the area as when you were a small child or when your brothers and sisters were?
Yes, my oldest brother. One time he was riding with my father on the horse. He was sitting in front of my father, and the Indians were trying to get him, to kidnap him. My father had to race on to get away. He barely missed him. And they were molesting people around there every now and then. They had to be very careful what they did, and not molest them, because they would have been on the warpath.
So that at the time that your father got this ranch, which I think you told me was in the 1870s, that was when they married, so they probably had the ranch about that time.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there were a lot of Indians still in the area then.
Oh, yes, up in the hills, you know. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of hills and rocks up above our land, you know, upper part.
Mm-hmm. Is there still any evidence there today that Indians lived there?
Yes, there's several caves, and they have artifacts, arrowheads such as that have been found.
Do you remember the building of the Medina Dam?
Oh, yes.
Okay, what can you tell me? As you recall it, tell me what you recall about that, because I think you were close enough to where you would have know
yes,
a lot about it.
Right.
Where
and
you live.
We were on the same line. I remember that, the telephone line, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I was trying to get someone in the neighborhood, and I got the Medina Dam, and I said, "Who is this?" And they said, "Well, this is the damn doctor's wife. Whom did you want?"
was there traffic through the area where you lived on that road that was maybe taking supplies? Can you tell me something about that?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was. Supplies being brought up all the time, and truckloads.
Did any of your family, the boys, work at the lake,
no,
at the dam?
No, they were too busy on the ranch. They didn't have time.
Okay.